Kubanga mwesigwa, chenva mwesiga. Kubanga mulamu, naba mulamu. Kubanga mukulu, biendaba abimanyi. Ye katonde yaliwo era aliba emirembe gyonna. Tewali mbeera gyatayinza Mukama ye mukulu.
Hi world, what's up tribe? Welcome to another edition of Stride, the podcast. And this time I literally mean it when I say it's been forever. I think it's been about 2 months or three, I'm not sure, maybe even more. I think I lost track of time. Probably the last episode was about January, February, March, about there, March, February. But we bless the Lord, we bless the Lord. A lot happened in between, and I thank God I'm back. Thank God I'm back. Am I really back for a while? I don't know. I'm not certain. But hey, this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So it is a journey. It is a journey. Thank you so much for being part of this journey. And yeah, as I said, a lot happened in between. But one of those many things that happened is the focus of this particular episode. Yeah, my mom died. Scratch that. Rested. Yeah, my mom died in May, beginning of May, around 8th, 9th. I got to find out on the 9th, which is very early in the morning. I'd gone out, woken up to go pee. And I came back to my phone and I found a lengthy text from a friend of mine. We are close. We used to call each other brothers even when we were smaller. But I found a very lengthy text from him. I was like, this guy, why is he texting me long text like this? And it's 3 a.m. my time where I was. For him, it was just like 3 hours behind, so about midnight. I'm like, wow. Yeah. So I read the message and I was like, oh yeah, so I just really sad to hear about the passing on of your mom. My heart is broken. I'm praying with you and for you. And I'm like, this is interesting. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know? So mom had been sick for a minute, but not a sickness that leads to death, if I can say that. It was just, you know, sick. I'm weak. I'll be fine. She had a spell of a poor health. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what name the disease has. We all were expectant to her recovery. And then everything just went down one particular couple of weeks, I guess. Everything just spiraled down out of control. And it was, after that, it was a short-lived time in hospital. About 9 to 11 days she spent in hospital before she passed. Yeah. So that's what's happened. And I've been going through it all. My gosh. What? Let me tell you something. You do not know loss until you experience it. You do not know bitterness until you actually experience it. You do not know unforgiveness or how hard it is to forgive until you actually experience it yourself. books, movies, songs will give you an emotion, will give you a chance to borrow. It's a borrowed emotion. It won't be your own. It will be in your mind. You will create, you'll build it in your mind, and you'll only imagine. That's what it is. It's an imagination until it really happens. And when it does, my goodness, wow. Yeah, so I've been all over the place. I've been on a journey that I shall forever continue being on for the rest of my life. Because, I mean, this is my mom, and it honestly does not even make sense. Like, you sit there and you're reflecting, and you're like, wait, sometimes, I'm like, wait, what do you mean she's dead? And that is even like months later. Like, what do you mean she's dead? What? This is August, May, June, July, August. It becomes so unbelievable to the point that when we had traveled to the village to lay her to rest, because that's where we laid her to rest, that very night there were so many people everywhere. How it works in Africa for people in the diaspora is if there's a funeral, the entire community, the village, friends and family, whatever, everybody comes to keep a vigil the night before the burial. Actually, from the point of death until the burial, people will just be there keeping vigils, keeping you company and mourning with you. So this particular night when we had traveled to the village, there were so many people everywhere. I didn't have a place to lay down and crash. And our house in the village is small, yeah? But that's not even a factor. No matter how big it was, there's no way we could have accommodated everybody because people were sleeping under the trees. They'd set up a tent on the outside in the yard, the compound. But I wanted to sleep inside the house. So I was looking around. There were bodies everywhere. Everybody sleeping everywhere. And in that moment, for some good 30 seconds, I was looking around for, where's my mom? Where's my mother? She usually is quite handy in this situation. She's probably secured a spot or a corner for me. You know, where's my mother? Where's my mother? And then for like 30 seconds, I was enjoying that, you know, looking for her. Then it hit me. Boom. She's actually the reason we're here. She's laying still in the middle of the living room on the other side. Man, life has changed. Life has changed, and I mean this on all levels. In terms of how I perceive news to do with loss, like right now it is with more empathy. 2020, 2021, 2022. Horrible years. Globally because of COVID, but personally for me in my life, because I was in a position where many of my friends, like about four of my friends, lost their parents. And loss hurts so much when you see someone you love and you cannot do anything about it. You don't know what to say, but you want to say something. You don't know what to do, but you think you should do something. I mean, I remember it hurts. Whenever lost a parent, when a friend of mine called Wisdom like me, Meikan, lost his dad, when Jesse lost his dad, I was like, God, when is this going to stop? How can this continue? And I had beef with God. I was like, you can't be allowing so much pain to be in the lives of people I care about. Shortly after that, a friend of mine, I was walking, or before her, then even another friend called Wakesho, lost a mom, and I had prayed with Wakesho. Like, I held hands with her. I was like, let's pray. Let's pray for mom. Let's pray for mom. Ah. And Wakesho's mom passed. Shortly after that, another friend of mine called Sandra. Still, we prayed. We prayed for Sandra's dad. I was like, let's pray over this. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's believe and pray. And I guess after having what I'd experienced with praying with Wakesho, then the mom still passed, I was like, yeah, Sandra, let's just be ready for anything. Let's believe in God to heal your dad, but also trust that eternal healing is in your dad resting eternally and being promoted to glory. All these nice things we come up with to euphemize death, or the word death. When all that was said and done, bro, it came home. It came home right under my own roof. And my mom died. It was not something we saw coming. It was not something we, you know, sat there and saw coming. We didn't. One moment she's happy, she's fine. The next she's not doing so fine, she's just a bit sick. And then the next she's in ICU. Like, what do you mean ICU? Then, oh, yeah, she's gone. It all happened so fast. Actually, I was in Kenya when I got news that my mom had passed. I left Uganda to come work. I was going to a job in Kenya. I left her in hospital because I was also recovering. So this is how it happened. Story. I got this job at an organization in Kenya called African Enterprise, which is a Christian evangelical organization. And the week I got it, I couldn't travel right away because I had to sort my passport and that kind of stuff. So they posted me. The first week of my assignment was in Uganda. They have a Ugandan office. We have a Ugandan office. So I was at that office for 1 week. Then towards the end of that week, I fell sick. And I was like terribly sick with malaria. Then I was staying at my grandparents' place. And mom came and checked up on me one particular Sunday. Like, oh yeah, you're going to be fine. Don't worry. You know, real sweet. Then she was also unwell. She was also unwell, but you know, she borrowed strength to come and check on her son. But her condition deteriorated that very evening, and she said, I need to go to rest. I'm not feeling so well. Goodbye. And I remember that that's like a scene from a movie paused right there in real time. Because as she was walking out of my grandparents' gate, I was, you know, coming. I was coming from the toilet. Toilet is Kuwainje. I was just coming out of the toilet, and I was weak. I was weak. I couldn't even, like, walking was a bother. People fear malaria. Fear malaria. It's terrible. I don't like malaria. So I sat down at one end of the compound because I was weak, and she was on the other end where the gate was, and she was also weak, and she was going to get onto a border which was outside the gate. And so she turns around and she waves, and she just waves. She says, bye. And I waved back. I waved back. I said, goodbye. Now, if I could pause time or rewind time, like, that's one moment I would go back. Like, regardless how sick I was feeling then, I would run to this woman and just hug her one last time. Just one last time. Hold her tight. And say goodbye, maybe. Because that was the last time I saw her physically. That was the last time I saw her physically. She went home. Then Shosho, my grandmother, I was like, hey, my daughter is not okay. She's pretending, but something is wrong. So she called my mom's little sister, my auntie, like, Joanna, whatever you gotta do, do it. But make sure your sister goes to hospital. She isn't doing too well. So she was taken to hospital. Long story short, she stayed there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, I traveled to Kenya. Monday, I was working. I reported to my first day. Now at the Kenyan office, at the office in Kenya. Then that very night, Monday night into Tuesday morning is when she died. So I had just literally done day one of work. I had to travel back to Uganda for the burial, which also chip, quick, very fast. By Thursday, we're done with the burial. And yeah, she was gone. In flesh. I look back and some of the things that don't make sense are, one thing that also doesn't make sense is I was on a call with her on Wednesday. Wednesday, the last week she was alive. And she was telling me how she's recovered, she's okay, she's good to go. She would have been released that day, but the doctor said she'll just leave the next day on Thursday, come back home. And I get off the phone and there's a different report from the people who are in the hospital. They're like, bro, your mom is sick. I don't know what she's telling you, but that's not true. So me, I was confused. Anyway, I guess she just didn't want to worry me. She also left a note. Woman had the time to actually leave a note to my brother, myself, my cousins, her siblings, her parents. Okay, those are like many notes. And my auntie, who was with her in hospital, says that's actually the last thing she did after she had run out of strength. She just told my auntie, tell everybody else that knows me, everybody else that I have interacted with, that I love them and God loves them. And she rested. Ivo to like need I did not come movie, man. Nakam movie. And after all of that, like in the immediateness of things, for me it was like I could make click. Like I traveled from Uganda, from Kenya back to Uganda, went for the burial, and it hadn't hit, basically. I mean, I don't even have the words to describe it. It hadn't hit me that she's actually gone. Like even when I was just there looking at her body, she looked so much at peace. So much at peace. So when everyone else was crying, I was the one strengthening people. Come on, just be strong, it's okay, it is well. She's in a better place. Don't even know what I was saying or what those words meant. I just guess it's what I've had people say most of the time. But over time, as time has gone by, loss is a real thing, man. Death is a real thing. It's a real thing, bro. And my friends, psychology major friends, have been telling me no one grieves or mourns the same way. It is quite unique for everyone. And I think for me, while it's apparently should be getting easier with time, nah, mine is quite the reverse of that. It was so easy. It was so easy, honestly, like a day, 2 weeks. Yeah, that's because I had to be the strength for everybody else. I had to be the strength for everyone. In fact, that's what one thing I was told, be strong. And first time I cried was when I was saying farewell at the burial. I was like, bro, mimi iki tumnaniambia kuwa strong sijui namaanisha. What do you mean be strong? Does that mean don't cry? Does that mean, don't feel? Does that mean cry? Like, what's being strong? I don't know what being strong is. I honestly don't. But it's been a journey. It has not been getting any easier. I must say. Oh my gosh. Let me get into the podcast. That's the story. It's part of the podcast, but I just wanted to speak about this. What has changed about life? One is outlook and perspective. There is something really nice about the ministry of presence. Reverend Duto, who was the university chaplain when I was in school, he loved that word, ministry of presence. And he referred to this as being available. You're not doing anything. You're not running up and down. You're not talking, you're just present. And there's something so rich about that that I've learned in this particular season, because it is not death that is scary or nini has the harshest effect. No, I think it's in the nuances. It's in the day-by-day moments where, you just remember something. You're like, let me share this with you, mom. And then you realize you can't. Or you meet a challenge and you're like, I don't know what to do. I need some advice. I need some, mother, where are you? What do I do about this? And she's not around. And then you be there and you reminisce on one particular moment that you had together, and it just makes you laugh. And it's a good thing. It's a very good moment. It's not a bad memory. You're remembering something that's even making you smile. And that's when you want to share it. And then you realize, oh, absent. So yeah, that has been a huge void. Forever will be. Perspective has also changed. Outlook on life. Because this is like a life-changing experience, literally life-changing, life-altering. So it has absolutely, definitely affected how I see different things. Like, guys, I'm not suicidal. I'm not depressed. I'm okay. But I'm not scared of death anymore. Used to be, madly. Actually, growing up as a child, my mom used to do a lot of missions. A lot of missions. So she would be on the road like a lot of the time. And every time you hear, oh, there's an accident somewhere, my heart would beat. Like, oh, I hope that's not her. You know? So I used to live in constant fear of death. But now that she's actually gone, I'm not scared of death, because I was scared of her death. It's actually happened. So that's a fear that's gone. Now, if death was to come, I would welcome it with open arms. Be like, yeah, I have family on the other side waiting for me. I'm very okay, guys. I'm very okay. These are thoughts that I've processed, and they're not coming from a bad place. Empathy also, as we speak of perspective, like right now, if someone is going through loss, like, of course I can't say I understand, because everyone experiences it differently, but empathetically now, I feel more. I feel more for people who are going through loss. Like, even at a scenes in a movie, some particular scenes that are involving, like, maybe a funeral, a burial, where they get to me more than they did before. That's changed. I have to take up responsibility. I'm still enjoying being children. So that has changed as well. Pushed to grow up. I don't want to say very fast, because I feel just done with uni. I'm now working. God had an interesting timer going, so it's much better this time than any time previously. Like, maybe if I was in school or I was in high school, hey bro, yeah. So that's changed. What am I doing about my grieving? I thank God that I have family and friends who are very supportive. And I think this is the part where I want to speak to people out there going through loss. Hear it from the heart of a fellow human going through something similar. That one is the role of support played by family and friends, man. It helps. This person that's gone will never be replaced. No way. Never. Not, cannot be. It's not possible. But the experience of adjusting can be smoother when you have support of family and friends. And I thank God for my family back in the state of Uganda. I thank God for my family in Kenya and my friends, all of them, because they've been so supportive, like, yani, just checking in on you, praying with you, letting you know you're loved, going, taking me out for food. Hey, I love food. Like, all these things have been really helpful in adjusting to life without mom, being physically present. I'm not seeing any therapist, but I have a lot of ready, useful resources from family and friends, again, who are in that particular field. So it's not like professional therapy sessions, but it is therapeutic sessions in a very friendly, simple setup. And that has helped to keep me sober. I mean, to be honest, I've had days where I don't want to get out of bed, where I don't want to do nothing. I wake up and I have no motivation for work. I just want to sulk, be quiet, and cry. Cover my head with my blanket the whole day. Those days have come. Likewise, I've also had days where I've even asked myself, like, am I moving on too fast? Like, I've gone the whole day without thinking about mom. Those days have also been there. Like, unapiga, even a whole week, you know, you're occupied with work, you're up and about, you're going to some event or activity, meeting up with a friend. And then later you're like, wait, am I moving on too fast? Must you feel guilty? Like, that's part of the journey. It's part of it all. And for this one, it's a friend of mine. She's called Claire. I love you, Claire. She made me see this one properly. She's like, but even when mom was here alive, hamukuwa mnaongea kila siku. In fact, ni ukweli, hatukuwa tunaongea. Like, even a week, 2 weeks would go by, na sija msalimia, and she was around. But remember what I said? Ministry of presence. Like, as even though we are not talking, like, Kini, I know you're there. I know you're there. That thing. But Claire helped me to put that into perspective. And I was like, okay, yeah. So it's not like I'm forgetting my mom. I think that was the fear. Like, ayah, I'm forgetting my mom. Nimeenda a whole day, a whole week bila kulia. No, don't do that to yourself. Grieving is a process. How has this affected my faith? That's the other change. That's a very good question. Loss has not exactly shaped, but clarified a lot of my stand on faith. In one of the episodes I did, I think the very first one, not the trailer, the first one said, I choose, or something like, something about choose. I remember saying something like, I don't know how I would react if a gun was put to my head and I'm asked to renounce Jesus. I'm hoping that I will say yes. I will say, I can't renounce Jesus. Because some things, honestly, you will never know until you are in that particular moment. You know, it's like saying, oh, for me, I can fast 40 days, doesn't matter, food. Until you try going through those days, you won't know that you can actually do it. You know? And it's so easy to imagine that something will have this particular kind of effect or reaction from you towards it, should it happen, as opposed to the reality of when it actually happens. How has this shaped my faith? I've had so many questions. So many. Pastor Jimmy from Watoto Church Jinja, he has had to answer a few. Hey, Pastor Rachel from Daystar. Hey. So these are people, see, you put yourselves in my life. So I didn't give them a break. I had so many questions. Like, why in the world and in heaven as well, why in God's own holy and powerful name is a loving and all-powerful God allowing his servant? No, see, mtu wa kawaida. My mom was serving in church. She served all her life. In fact, ever go Tubugembe or Jinja, say her name in any church. Say her name in any church, I promise you. And they will tell you they've probably interacted with her. They know her as a worship minister. They know her as an usher. They know her as the dancer. They know her as the crazy lady on crusades and missions. They know her as the interpreter. I don't know if there is a particular role in ministry this lady didn't do. And so one of the questions was, God, you let a disease, an illness, to take my mother. Okay, wachana nayo, fine. No, let's not cling on the mother thing. Your servant, in the prime of her years, alikuwa tu just 40-something. What do you mean? Make that make sense, God. Make that make sense. And to be honest, some of these questions, sijapata jibu, sijapata answer. In fact, at least most of them, sijapata answer. So how has that affected my faith? I remember ranting kwa status yangu ya WhatsApp, but it's the summary of it all. In short, it is this, that God is God. Mungu anabaki tu kuwa Mungu. Whether you like what he's doing or you don't like, whether you're happy or you're not, whether you want to complain about it, he remains to be. We say together, God remains to be God. I'm looking for them so that I can read. Yes, I want to read it as exactly as it was. So the question here, does God care? Does he know? Does he understand? Is he powerful and able? Is he loving? And this is what I had to say about all of those things. And this was mostly an excerpt from, not an excerpt, paraphrase, but my understanding and interpretation of Job's exchange with God. And I said, he makes it rain on the godly and the wicked. He created the heavens and the earth. He commands the waves and the wind. He crowns kings and he brings down kingdoms as well. He has designed every detail of creation, placing the stars in their constellations, holding the earth in space. Guys, earth does not sit on a bench, a string. It's not held by a string. He holds it in space. He watches over the lion and the gazelle. The lion looking for food, the gazelle hoping it is not food, praying for life. He marks the shores for the seas and the oceans. He determines seasons. He holds the rain pregnant with clouds in the heavens. He knows the number of grains of sand on the earth. He has searched and he has known all wisdom. Heaven and earth cannot contain God. Because, it's even scripture says, heaven is but a throne for him, and the earth, in all its vastness, is simply a footstool for God. So, therefore, who can summon God and question him? Who can stand in his consuming holiness, his burning glory, his brilliant greatness? With what wisdom can a simple man, can wisdom tibaje Moses? With what wisdom? Where do I start finding fault in God, who is the creator of the very same wisdom I'm bringing back to argue with him? You know, who has ever given counsel to God? Who gave counsel to God when he was creating the universe and said, your temperature, the sun is a bit too low. Ongeza kidogo. Who gave him counsel? Nobody. Which man has lent to the Lord so that at a point this man can come back to say, give me back my property that I lent to you? Even the breath with which we breathe in our lungs is but a gift from God. He gives and he takes away as he pleases. He gives and he takes as he pleases. And that is a part that doesn't make sense, number one, to some people. Number two is a place of contention. Like, so therefore, his will is not good for me. Eh? His will is not good because why is he taking away? I'll come to that. You see, power, ability, goodness are all true about God. Power, he's all powerful, he's all able, and he is all good. Omnipotent, omniscient. Yes, omniscient. They are all true about God. But guess what? They remain but mere words for our human brains to try and understand the nature of God. And I'm driving up to something. Power, ability, goodness, they are all just words that we have in our wisdom as we try and understand and wrap our heads around this being called God, you know? But who can really comprehend the entire majesty, glory, and definition of God? Who can comprehend? Before we understand his power, his ability, or his goodness, he is God. And what I mean by that is, mimi niko hapa, I'm Moses. Maybe you've interacted with me physically, maybe you've met me on social media, or maybe you listen to Stride the podcast, and that's how you know me. So one way you're going to know, one thing you're going to know about me is my voice, my tone, for example. You will be mistaken, however, if by interacting with Stride the podcast and you know my tone, you know the tone of my voice, to therefore assume that you know who I am in my entirety, because then there'll be a question for what's the color of my hair, okay? What's the shape of the toenail on the smallest toe? You know, I have one nail out of the 10 toes that is cracked. Which one is it? You wouldn't know that from just Stride, the podcast. So even this about God, his power and his goodness are attributes that God has. Are notions, descriptions of, depictions of his character. But before he is all those things, he is God. Ata mimi, before I am nice, before I am maybe loud, described as loud and happy, I am Moses Kwanza. I am Moses. I am Moses in the very first being, because remember we are a spirit with souls living in a body. So before God is good, he is God. Good is just one of the attributes of the many we know about him. But if we rely on making the goodness God, then we go wrong. Let me repeat that. If we make goodness God, then we've lost it. Because God is God, and then he is good. He is a good God. So, in simple terms, when we are worshiping God, we should be worshiping God, not worshiping the good things about God, or worshiping the good things God has done in our lives, or the good things we hope God will do in our lives. That is beggar mentality. That is even idolatry. Because you're not worshiping God if you're only coming before him and all you see in your mind is the good things only. And it's not bad to see good things. I'm not saying go and see bad things. I'm saying see God. Because before God is good, he is God. And thank God, yes, thank God that he is good. But here's what I mean. Even if God was wicked, he would still remain God. Hallelujah. We can only say, thank God, God is good. And what is good? Good is what is morally upright or acceptable. Good is what is beneficial. Something that is desired or approved of. Qualities of a high standard. Good. And does that sounds too cheap to be God. you see what I mean? And so we are only thankful that God is good. Otherwise, if he was wicked, there would be nothing you and I would do about it. Nothing. He would be God. And so mimi niku surrender to, I was like, Cheki, you're God. And I'm glad that your word is something you hold true to yourself, even above anything else. And your word is, you are good and you have good plans and you take no pleasure in the suffering of even the wicked people. So why would I assume that you take pleasure in the suffering of those that love you, your own children? So I don't know what you're up to. Mimi sijui na sielewi. I don't understand it. But I will trust you. Because what else? Give up on you and go where? Niende wapi? Only you make sense. Even though you're not making sense right now, only you make sense. Because whatever else I would done to doesn't make any more sense. Or even near as much sense as you're making. And you're not making much at the moment, honestly. But even anything else doesn't come near. What's going on here? And it's been an honest walk of ranting with God, turning off songs that are singing God is good and I'm not in the mood for it. And I'm like, yeah, I know he is, but I just don't want that. Listening to sermons and then some radical statements such as, why is a Christian, you cannot die young. With long life, I will satisfy you. And I'm like, bro, my mom died at 40-something. Way, kwenda uko. Stop that thing, stop that YouTube video, walk out of that service. And I'm saying these things because it's real. It's real, bro. Or sis. It's real. And Stride the Podcast is about walking the journey of faith. And though my faith has been firm, let me tell you, in this season, this song has never been deeper. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken, I'll never be more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. Because foundations have been shaken. Mom, my mother, Madam Pastor, Evangelist Nani, missionary, died. She succumbed to a sickness. Bro, you know how that can shake your faith? Because now you're like, if her God couldn't save her, sasa, na she was the one who was praying for me. Now what about me? I'm finished. I'm gone. Oh, woo unto anyone who puts faith in man. Even her, she would definitely tell me the same thing. You are a foolish boy if you think I am the foundation of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter / finisher of your faith. My faith has held fast, but it has not, I would be, and I've dwelt on this because when I say my faith has held fast, it would be an undermining of the chaos that has been going on in my heart and in my mind. Because I was telling Pastor Rachel the other day that I have experienced, there's no deniability because I have experienced the goodness of God. I have experienced his power and his healing. But right now, pasi, acha nikwambie ukweli, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And I also don't want to feel it or believe it because it's not making sense. And that's when I'm reminded it's not about our feelings. It's not about our feelings. It's about the truth. And realizing that my mind settled, I was like, let me feel these things. Imagine it's okay. I won't cast them away because they're part of the grieving process. They're part of the growth journey. Let me feel them. Feel them I will. But my mind, be not deceived. My soul, be not moved. My spirit, hey, stick, hold on to the Lord. Let these emotions come and go. Let these thoughts come and go as they will. Let them come as they will. But every single day, we are going to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Friends, that is not an instant thing. That's a daily thing. Iyo ni melan. It's a daily walk. Nimesema mengi, but I pray that somebody is encouraged. I get passionate, of course, when I'm speaking. I'll put a microphone in my face and I'll speak. The truth is I've not been as strong as I'm representing even in this episode. But I get the strength by day. I have found it useful to dive into the depths of God, to get swallowed in his embrace, to continue serving, to occupy myself with work, but also be keen that I don't use that as a distraction, and basically go through grief day by day. And it's different for everyone, but I pray that whatever you go through, whatever loss, whatever challenge you go through in life, may it draw you closer to God and not farther away. Because away from him is chaos. Oh, before I do, this actually was the whole point of the whole motivation for this particular episode. Today is Mom's birthday. And I had planned, from as early as March, I was planning with a childhood friend of mine called Jenny. Thank you so much, Jenny. I know you're listening to this episode. We had planned to surprise her on her birthday this year. And this was before she even was in hospital. So this is just to share with you, the world, a little bit of my mom's last few weeks, days, and also the impact of that on my life currently, impact of her death, but then mostly to celebrate her, to just celebrate her and say happy birthday. So yeah, I don't know what happens when someone dies. Like, do they keep growing? Do they stop? Does time matter where you are, mom? Well, it's not a thing. Will I be older than you and get to 60 and be like, oh yeah, you stopped back growing back then, so nimeku pita, or not? Funny that of all things, that's one of the things that's on my mind. Like, yeah, it's a very interesting thing. Do you keep growing when you die? See, you've not really died. If you're a believer, you've gone into eternal life. But again, I guess in eternity, time don't matter. Anywho, happy birthday, Mama. I miss you. Matt misses you. We all do. Thank you all for listening. Bye.